live.
Blog Talk Radio.
We live on the huddle. Peace. How y'all doing out there? We currently simultaneously broadcasting. So the title of this blog talk / YouTube is Young Pharaoh, House of Conscious Next Generation. And we're talking about the bullshit that's been going on in the House of Conscious, what it didn't birth, and what the next generation can't get away from. Right? You set your children or you set in front of the YouTube stream and watch your polites, your Ali Muhammad's, your Natural Tahuti's, your Professor Larry's, your Sue Tech's, your, you know what I'm saying, Hebrew Israelites from Daniela to Zariak to General Yohana to Nasi Yashavel, Divine, all these damn characters, right? And it's just like any detrimental program out there. It has created a generation of fuck-ups and crazy people and gave you a bullshit culture to deal with, right? So, I told the people I opened up the phone lines. And so, that's what this blog talk is about. So now, let's put the number out there for the people to call in if they want to. That's the number to call in, people. Y'all ask for it, I'll oblige you. I got you. The phone number is 657-383-1714. You know, I have to do this because some sick-ass individual stalking me out there, hunting me down on YouTube. And whenever I go live and put out the link to the actual YouTube, then, you know, somebody figured out they'll come in and block me. Yeah, I'm going to tell all y'all the secrets so you can go to other people's channel and fuck up their live streams now. I'm going to make sure it's detrimental to everybody, to whoever have a hater out there now. You better not open up your live stream. Because you only did it because I did it. So now I'm going to tell everybody how to fuck your live stream up since they want to come fucking with me. If you go into someone live stream, block them in their own live stream. And it'll throw them out of their own live stream. And it'll go off. So we're going to stop this going live and putting a link out there. We're going to stop this. Because if I can't do it, ain't nobody going to be able to do it. I'm that selfish. I'm selfish. I'm going to be that asshole. I'll be that. Right? So, now let's get back to the topic at hand. Yeah, I'm a spoil sport. If you don't play right with me, I ain't going to play right with you. I am that. Like I told you, I try my best not to be those things that have those mindsets. So, the CBBN Dennis Winkler. Shout out to Dennis. Check out his channel and what he be doing over there, y'all. He don't like the conscious community either, but he don't play in that circus. You know what I'm saying? He forever telling me they ain't the conscious community, but I'm like, man, they got the best propaganda machine going. But they didn't destroy it, and it did a lot of stuff, you know what I'm saying, to that machine over there. And that's all I'm saying. We got the next generation, and as you can see, it ain't going no different. Pharaoh won't keep himself out of the mess. He's still mad or angry about the going to trial and my yacht and how they did him and things of that nature. Which he really could take the crown that the people then gave him since he the people champ. He could really take that crown and help the black community and help people. He could, you know, help other people channels by doing what Polite never did. You know what I'm saying? Spread itself throughout the community. Don't spread itself then, but throughout the community. Polite never did that for other channels. He went on Sinetta's, and then he went to Rich's Black Magic 363. Baba was around with his camera, so he got some of that. And really, he never went nowhere else. Eventually, he started, you know, going to other people's channels a little bit because, once again, people from New York were surrounded and they had their cameras. So, I mean, you just can't diss a nigga that quick if he's standing right there with his camera and wants some airtime. But to just go on another person's YouTube channel, that wasn't something he would do. And that's why he got his own channel now. So, once again, he can get his message out and he really don't have to go nowhere else. He just catered towards his fan base on his channel. Right? So that's Pharaoh. He really don't have to go nowhere else. So to go somewhere else, yeah, it's to show love and give a blessing out to another channel. So y'all can say what you want for us. Oh, you mad because he won't come to your channel. Well, he came to my channel. But like most things, as Perry said in the chat, I got to get gangster with niggas and force their hands. Like I said, we can have good conversation, a confrontation. Because I could eat off your name, just like everybody know now, just like everybody doing. I can eat off your name and eat off of you without you being there. You know what I'm saying? So do you want to do it in a positive way or a negative way? But people don't want to comply. They don't want to understand and comprehend the era that we in, that either we going to show love to each other like real men should do, like brothers should do, or we gonna keep bullshit up with each other and destroy the black image and put the propaganda that we just some ignorant ass savages out there in the community. You know what I'm saying? So the number's out there if y'all wanna call in. You know, Mob Deep had this song say you should spread love, not war. And that's the type of environment that I've been dealing with and trying to deal with. I even gave a whole video and stuff to that whole mindset. Spread love, not war. You want to go to war with the white man. You want to go to war with the black man. You want to create enemies everywhere. And then you want to be paranoid and scared and afraid to go places and do things because you done set a tone in the atmosphere where you don't know whether get your hand out of my pocket, gunshots at your ass gonna come from. You know what I'm saying? It's still a climate where stuff can be good in different states and cities and towns. The only place people done had a problem is in New York with the House of Conscious and stuff. Other markets and stuff is open. So when I get the opportunity to, you know, create a venue and do something for people where at the end of the day, we could take away from the mindset or from the atmosphere that's being created. But nah, niggas don't want to do that either. They want to stay in this bullshit. So it's all good, man. I can participate in either one of them. And the one that I don't want to participate in, I just stopped doing it. Nothing else, brother. You asked if I open up the phone lines and you don't call in, I'm going to block your damn profile off my page. And I don't want to see you on my page no more. I'm going to block you because you got me turning on. You got me turning on this blog talk shit. Which I don't mind. I wasn't using it and I done paid for it. But I done turned it on. And you ain't going to call in? Oh, hell no. We ain't going to have that. So I'm strolling down here to your profile now. So then I'm gonna go to your page. So if you don't call in, gonna get blocked. I'm on some madman shit. I'm the mad conscious nigga now. You remember the mad rapper? I'm the mad conscious nigga now. I'm mad. Nigga don't want to show me love. I get no respect. My Roger Dangerfield and shit. I'm gonna be the mad conscious dude. So we got 212. Just hit one if you want to speak. But yeah, man, that's probably Perry.
What's up, big bro? How you doing, Carl?
What up? What up? What up? So I see that 212. I already know. Like, hey.
Right. Nah, but you're right though, man. You gotta start deboning these niggas, man. You know what I'm saying? If these cats got the platforms, they got the numbers. They need to start spreading some motherfucking love, man. Real talk. You know,
yeah.
Niggas gonna get there one way or another. You know, these cats need to start spreading a little bit of love, dude.
Yeah, it's all good. I mean, that's. I mean, look, for me to leave, and as people know, I'm gonna use the figurative language. For me to get the fuck off of my couch, go all the way to Chicago to meet Young Pharaoh and show love like that and support this event, come out my pocket with $30. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got no love, you can't show no love.
Right.
Like,
right.
Okay, well then you know it's gonna be fuck you. That's my mentality for anybody that ever heard me. They already know if it's fuck me, it's fuck you. That's most definitely my mentality. That's how I was raised, right? And that ain't raised biblically. That's raised in the streets. If it's fuck me, it's fuck you. If I try to show you love and you show me love back, fuck you then. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's
how I
can
take it big, like. Yeah, because, I mean, look, man, don't complain about a motherfucker exposing you and coming for your motherfucking head or exposing your motherfucking information if you ain't trying to show no love. That's what's going to happen. I don't feel bad for Polite at all. That nigga ain't never give back nothing. He ain't never try to show no love to nobody. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, it's fucked him. You know what I mean? Don't cry and be like, oh, nah, nigga, show some love next time. You know what I'm saying? And maybe things won't go that way. You know what I'm saying? Rehabilitate your image. Because right now...
Yeah, the only person that you can look at and feel somewhat sorry for a second, not me personally, but some people, it's Sonetta. Because
right.
Love him or hate him, he did give a lot of those bitch niggas camera time.
Yeah.
But if he used them to eat off of them or whatever, he gave him his platform and gave him camera time.
Right.
He could have said fuck some of them individuals like he said fuck other individuals. But
right.
Based up on they marketing and promotion or, you know, they hate other Bible or whatever it is that motivated him to turn the camera on them, he gave him the camera. Asked him,
right.
It took him forever to get over there. And like I said, I helped their ass through that door. By looking Reggie and Jonathan up and the whole, you know, him and on trial debate. But shit, them motherfuckers worked forever and couldn't get through that goddamn, what they call it, proverbial door. The motherfuckers couldn't make it through that door. So.
Right. No, that's the absolute truth, man. I feel the same way, man. But I used to tell Sonetta that shit, though, all the time. To be like, man, that nigga Polite. Either he gonna be the end of you, or he's gonna hurt you really, really bad. He's hurting your brand. I don't think you should be putting all your eggs in this one motherfucker basket like that. You know what I'm saying? But I always knew Polite was gonna build up his channel and then skate on Sonetta. I knew that was gonna happen. I knew he would do that.
Yeah. I mean, you can see it. I mean, they done had their fights before. It's just this last one. Well, you know, if a nigga say you're going to get some niggas to come harm me to the point where Sonetta said what he said, if I end up dead, Polite did it, I mean, yeah. I mean, we might be able to make some money with each other, but I ain't fucking with you no more on some you can come to my house shit.
Right. Right. But notice, though, Carl, when they would fight, when Polite still needed him, he was, oh, that's my brother. We fight all the time. But he would bring his ass back to the show because he knew he still needed Sonetta. But once I started seeing him experimenting with his own channel, when his own channel went up, and his views, his subscription started going up, I said, watch this nigga. The next fight they have, he's not coming back. And that's just what the fuck happened.
Yeah, cause see, he used to try to play the blog talk with Sarnetta. Sarnetta had the blog talk. Eventually, he got the blog talk. He tried to use it, and he cut his blog talk off. He didn't want to do it. It's too much work. But YouTube is a little bit more easy than blog talk. So, you know, he created a YouTube channel. Now he on and popping. You know, it's all good, man. It's just a game, though, man. This stuff is nothing new, man.
Yeah, ain't nothing new. It's all old. I know about that shit.
704.
I know about it at all. I thought another thing when I was listening to you earlier, I thought another thing you said was key as well. It was a lot of dudes that had a lot of potential, B, that they purposely fucked over and just, you know, put propaganda out there on them. Oh, he's stupid. He's that. You know what I mean? And that's fucked up too, you know, because I would also tell him that, like, that's going to hurt your brand because these cats, you could have builded them up. That could have been another link for what you doing. You see what I'm saying? But I think it was Polite's idea to let's destroy these niggas' image, make them look bad to the people. Let's kill them before they even get a chance to grow. And that way it would just be about me. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that too,
so
but
that was some
it
dirty
was
shit too.
Because, you know, Reggie said the shit, and I pretty much feel like the shit is true because I'm just saying from my personal interaction with the platform, the motherfucking Hebrew Israelites up there in New York, they won't be, you know, because Ariok sat right there on the couch and said that shit, you know what I'm saying? They never want Sarnetta to fuck with me, you know what I'm saying? They wanted to go through with their grand scheme and shit, you know what I'm saying? Bringing the One West Caps back together under General Yuhanna at the end of the day. So no matter what her Char say or Danielle and all them say, when he builds his Ariok up and statement that you ain't an Israelite unless you fuck with General Yuhanna, then that already lets you know that that was the main place. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
And if you want One West Hebrew Israelite, it's like really fuck you. You know, they fuck with Nas because Nas had that win from SETI and had a good push. So they like, well, fuck it, we'll use him. But, you know,
right.
The whole Old Testament, New Testament, Messianic, you know, thing, that fucked them up early in the game.
Right.
That whole thing of going against Kimmin and shit, if you just had all those X1 Westerns that lead the Old and New Testament and shit, then the Zion Lex betrayal wouldn't have never happened. You see what I'm saying? Nazi brings Zion in and this and that. Nigga like, well, I ain't never fucked with the New Testament anyway. That's some bullshit and a lie. So it's like everything that was done over there was it was just bullshit, man, because nobody wanted to be real and say the real shit, you know, which would have caused more controversies and a better fight, because then you would have been fighting over what's really real and what's really fake. But nobody wanted to do that. Nobody wanted to sit down and have that debate, that talk, or really fight about that. And that's the only talking points in the world that really matter right now, because we need division. Bitch-ass niggas can't roll with real niggas. That's just the truth of the matter. You can't have bitch niggas and real niggas rolling together. We can't be in the same car. We can't be heading the same place. Nigga, I'm going to kick your ass out the car. I can't roll with my bitch ass nigga. The real
right.
And the fake is on display now.
Right. Yeah, I always felt that truth sells too, you know. It's a lane for that. It's a lane for real shit and truth. Everything ain't got to be WWF.
Yeah, 704 if you want to speak, hit 1. But yeah, I mean, that's what it is. But that's what you're seeing. Like I said, I told Kev Gill, go back over there and fuck with Polite. And see, now the nigga only fucking with Polite again. it's a formula that works. You put that nigga name out there 20, 30 times, you get him mad enough, he mention your name, say this and say that. You know what I'm saying? It's a formula that works, ask me. I know. I invented the motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And what I mean by spreading love, just keeping a honey, B. Give niggas their credit where it's due. You know, let it be known that you was the first nigga. I ain't trying to ride, you know, none of that. You know what I mean? But I'm just keeping it 100. You was the first nigga doing damn near 8-hour live streams going in. So, you know, yeah. I just feel like niggas can show love by just, you know, just say that. Like, you know what I mean? Just put that out there.
Well, I gave niggas the ability to feel like they can do something to these niggas. Nobody ever went at the Amin Ra squad till I did, and they like, oh, that nigga made a dent. And all my audio from the best to their Masons and everything, people still use it to this day. I put that out there. Even this Sarnetta shit and cracking, people play the Bible thing where Sarnetta said the Bible is this, that, if you look at it from an Israelite perspective. They not looking at it from the white man. That's Sarnetta saying that shit on my show. A lot of shit that people use and come off my shit, and they don't even know it. When Kel Gill go get the Israel Doctrine Revenge, just get the photo and shit and put it up on this page. Nigga, you watching my shit.
Right.
So you get started, you come and get your inspiration from over here. It's cool. But,
I got to call Sarnetta too. I got to call him because I need to ask him if he still got that video footage. My first video I did on his channel, the Ball of Confusion, I want him to put that back up or let me get it. You know what I'm saying? That was my first joint I did with them. The joint was fire, too. That shit caught fire like a motherfucker. Because like you said, before then, niggas wasn't really, you know what I mean? I mean, you had cats. They was kind of going at it a little bit. I know Seti was going at the malls. And, you know, you had little situations here and there. But that Ball of Confusion, I just came out of nowhere. I went at Larry, Tahuti, whoever, all them niggas was out there. I just came out of nowhere and just started going at them niggas. Stole shots. Blah, 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 blah. All them niggas. And that's when that shit just started popping. Started popping after that. Really, really caught fire after that.
Yeah. Hey, we got a 704, Barry. Let's see who this is.
All right.
704, peace. Welcome to the huddle with Israel Doctor.
Yeah, I just, you know, I've seen the title. I follow, I don't actually follow, but I listen to Young Phil. You know, I listen, you know, I don't agree with every, you know, all that science he talked about. But, I mean, I like what he does as far as exposing, even though it's been done before. So, hey, you right, Carl. How you doing, by the way?
Peace out. It's all
good. But I do respect you, Carl. I do respect you. I've been listening to your channel for a while, in and off, on and off, you know, ever since, I guess, when you was debating with the sister Bayat. So I've been listening to you. You know, I might not agree with everything you say, but you do make some sense, so that's why I continue to listen to you. And as far as the conscious community, I always believe that it never exists, and the only reason why I say it never exists because there's nothing being built. There's nothing. There's really no tangible. There's nothing that you can touch. Nothing you can feel. It's all just internet activity. That's all it is. Now, as far as maybe those events, the debates event, well, I'm gonna say that it's been ticking away ever since. You know, it seems like it's been staged. It seems like they're fake. You ain't building nothing after that. You didn't start a conversation. You disagree. You agree. And then you on with your life. You back on the internet, beefing and conversating and finding solutions, which what was the point? Having a debate was to find a solution. But if you still haven't found a solution after these debates, all these different debates, then it's I don't see it being real.
Yeah, but that's,
I mean,
that's just my opinion. People not trying to be solution based. When I played to Khalil Muhammad, he gave the perfect analogy to what needs to happen. You could be an atheist. You could be, number one, you're black. That's what we all agreeing to, right? Even the Moors agree, though they want to argue the shit. So just put black nationalism to your shit. Add nationalism to your conversation. And then let's deal with the national agenda. Our national agenda, whatever the fuck you want to call each other, it's still us and it's ours. It's no one else's agenda. We need to put our agenda on the table. So we haven't dealt with that. We should be like they do in Congress. We need to be in sessions with all of us in there arguing and fighting about certain points. Well, how are we going to split this money and deal with this economics that we could get from this YouTube shit? Who's going to go to whose channel and what's going to be the conversation and what is the topic we're going to take around at every channel? So everybody listeners going to get in uniformity with each other because we only talking about this week or this day or this month. We ain't talking about shit ass. Then next month we'll deal with this. And if we did that daily, monthly, weekly, yearly, then we'll get somewhere because we'll be dealing with whatever we agree upon the problem is and trying to find a solution to the shit. But we can't come together like that because niggas just want division. They don't want to talk about no solutions.
Exactly. Maybe, and you say black, maybe the black might be the problem. Does Israelites describe the black or they describe being Israel? I mean, Israelites.
Well, it's a figurative language just that we all agree upon. Like, everybody agree upon black. They just, politically, they make them arguments because they want to say, well, Moore is a nationality. And we, well, I'm an Israelite. That's a nationality.
Yeah.
So you got Moors, yeah. I got Israelite, he got whatever nationality, but we all can come up under the black banner. So it's just like, fuck it, we all bloods. And we know we all come from different families and neighborhoods and shit, but you got a nation of bloods, a nation of Crips, a nation of GDs and stuff. So you can nationalize under anything and say you got a national agenda based up on that. You know what I'm saying? So you could create any type of terminology to get up on it, as long as everybody agree upon it. So black has been what we've been under for so long that what if niggas try to argue against it? They know that we all fit up under that paradigm.
I know I've been hearing a lot of people pushing melanin people.
Same thing. They just trying to say, instead of saying black, let's say melanin. It's like whatever we can do or agree upon. But that's the same. That's the same problem. That one thing about this whole situation, we ain't military minded where we starting to snipe off and kill our enemies. You know what I'm saying? Because whether they the white man, the black man, or whoever, when a motherfucker an enemy and a threat to your freedom and your joy and your family and shit, yeah, you know you got to get rid of the enemy. And that's the problem. Niggas out here holding hands with the enemy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like they need to, before they even try to, go up against the enemy, they need to prepare themselves. A lot of people don't prepare themselves and they're going up, I mean, even by themselves. You know, because I mean, I describe, I'm a Moorish American, and I notice a lot of these people that preach the sovereignty stuff, and if visually, they going up against the enemy, which that's a bad move. Doesn't really, I mean, hold any weight by yourself. So, you would need to be established first, just like. This country.
Yeah, but most
now.
Of that shit is just establishing your neighborhood. Ain't no way.
Ain't no way that you
got gangs that then went worldwide, nationwide, and shit. And they started by just saying we GDs, and this is our list, and that's how we gonna do our shit. And then that shit spread everywhere. Motherfuckers say we bloods, we wearing red, we gonna do this, and they come into agreement. See, Even the Bible tell you when they talk about the Tower of Babel. It said all the people got one mind, one language and shit. Now, anything they imagine, they can do. So if you can come on one accord like that, anything you imagine, you can do. I don't give a fuck what it is. The LGB community and everybody come together and they talk the same language and do the same thing, got the same whatever mindset, and they're pulling off shit that black people in general can't do because all the so-called black people don't have the same mindset. It's division amongst them. But those people not divided. They got a national agenda. They push that shit. They buy they congressmen or whatever. They get their lawmakers and they got people up there talking to them and shit and pushing their agenda because they don't want a court. They know what the fuck they want. They want to be able to marry each other. They want to be able to do this. They want to be able to have hate crimes against them if a motherfucker knock them out for being homosexual or lesbian. They know what the fuck. They got a national agenda.
It is crazy. Their homosexual agenda is working. Is working. I figured they're going to have issues, but, you know, like you said, each of them are on one mind state, and they pretty much got everything within less than 50 years. I could be wrong. But they got everything they need, rights, so-called rights, so-called benefits, everything within less than 50 years. We still fighting for everything. We're still on YouTube fighting and, you know, debating and finding solutions. But this homosexual agenda, I mean, you can see it all over the damn reality shows. You can see it all over the damn
Because
movie.
They push it. You know, you got to push your shit, man. And that's the problem. Like, people know what's good for us, but they'll try to push that down and put some other shit. You know, that's the whole thing when people was doing a separate but equal in the integration. Right? Nah, let's be simple. Okay, if we going to integrate or we going to do any of this shit, we got to take care of this first and then bring this later, and we got to be progressive. We got to start somewhere and move. Don't nobody know where the fuck to start at. That's why I keep saying it's real conversation, but it's people that you got to sit in the room together and you damn they got to go to fisticuffs or whatever the fuck to push the shit because it is life and death. People act like this shit ain't life and death, but this shit is life and death. It might be a slow death, but it's still, at the end of the day, just like even this young Pharaoh shit for us, the next generation. The next generation is out there waiting, and either you going to put this shit where it need to be for them, or they going to have to start fighting some shit that they figure, oh, I thought the motherfuckers took care of that 10 years ago. Nah, they didn't. They lost the fucking battle or didn't even proceed to fight. And now you motherfuckers, hey, here you go. This your legacy. This is what you finna inherit. The fucking fight that this nigga should have fought. But since he was too pussy to fight it, now you got to fight it. But we got a caller here that's, you know, got a blocked number, but they welcome to speak.
But, yeah, and the thing is about the conscious community, the older ones, you know, the seasoned ones, they created everything they're dealing with now, they created that. They created that monster. They created all these monsters that's popping up. That's just like when the United States, you know, the Army started, they went against, you know.
They created Osama bin Laden. They created
exactly.
And they trained them to fight other motherfuckers.
Yep.
And then
and Jordan. Yep. So that's exactly what this so-called conscious community is dealing with. They created all these cells that's around. Now it's too many of them, so it's hard to. You can't knock them all. And but how can you knock them out when you was brought up phony and fake?
That's why you got to be one that haven't been a part of the system. If you was a part of the system, created
that's
you.
When you come into play.
It was created you.
So that's how you come into play, Carl. That's why you still here. Because you didn't get formed to that bull crap that Sinatra Circle created. everybody inside of that circle, everybody that's part of it, everybody that had contact, with Cynetta is not 100%. Maybe the ones that separated from him early and realized that it was a bunch of crap. But I'm not going to take none away from Sonata because he did bring a platform that allowed people to.
Yeah,
you know,
I was trying to reform that motherfucker. I was either going to reform it or destroy it. And so when they started fighting against me, most definitely not trying to let me in and be a part of it, which is a great thing, then that's when I started attacking it. You know, I said, well, then it's time to destroy this motherfucker. I can't reform it.
You're not part of that fabric that caused all these cells to pop up. Yeah, I'm a fan of In the Black Media as well too. I like those brothers over there. They do good work. And when they were, you know, doing, when they was banging, you know, I still support them as well, as well as support you, and you know, and Pharaoh coming up. I'm kind of iffy, but that brother, you know, he's doing some work. I can't take that away from him. He's doing something that is, you know, shedding light on some things that, I mean, could have kept. I mean, people act like you can't. You gotta clean some of this stuff out. You can't just have a closet full of clothes that you can't wear. And you gotta take those clothes out and throw them away.
Because I'm like Pharaoh. Look, the damage that's been done to Cynetta comes from me. Kev Gill ain't doing no damage to Cynetta or Polite.
Yeah.
All these people is riding the coattail of what me and others have did on this platform. The only reason they putting any damage in right now is because of what we did. You caught Cynetta out there doing stupid, crazy shit because I frustrated and fucked with his head. So he did and said crazy shit, whether if he was high, instead of whatever, is because I was frustrating him and he didn't know what to do. So therefore, he won on his game only because I was fucking with him. If I wasn't fucking with him, he would have been on his game. He would have pushed this agenda and this shit further, and it wouldn't be no problem right now.
Yeah.
But while everybody else was sitting back trying to be on Cynetta and kiss his ass or whatever, I'm over here banging on him, and I got him out of his game. I weakened him.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment is when everybody attacked him, which is cool. I still accomplished my task, right?
Yeah.
But everybody else trying to take the benefits of what I did, which is cool. It should benefit everybody. But when other people take the benefits from it and then don't want to show no love back, then that's when I get a little pissed. And it ain't because of hate, envy, jealousy, or none of that. Because I'm like, you know what? The same tactics that was used over there, I can easily chop up your videos and get at you. Because no man is beyond reproof. Now, I'm the type to say, I want a motherfucker to reprove me. Because you know what it do? Now we're going to get into that tangle. We're going to tangle each other up, and we're going to engage each other. Now we're going to see who's the truth. Now, you go get your videos and find where you caught me slipping and try to show why I was slipping, and then I'm going to bring clarity to the bullshit that you're trying to put on the table, and I'm still going to win. Don't nobody else want to do that because they know their shit is that feeble that if they put it out there, it's going to get knocked.
Yeah.
They don't want it tested. Is this raw cocaine or is this stuff good? Let's test it. Oh, nigga, you done stepped on this. That's what it's going to be. You ain't got the raw one cut. Your shit stepped on.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, we got a 615 on me, too. Peace.
No, I ain't going nowhere. I'm just saying keep up the good work, man.
Yo, peace. Peace, brother ID. What's good with you, man? It's Mike. Mike
S. What's up, man?
Ain't nothing much, man. Peace to your panel too. I was gonna go back, man, and say, I just heard you mention the first time that Tazaria called you out on that show. I don't know if it was his first time, but that was the first time I heard about you when he was hating on you because he was hating on you tough, and he called himself an Israelite. I didn't really understand that, bro. So that made me kind of turn to you and listen to you, hear what you were saying. Then when I watched all the storylines happening at once, I was like, oh, yeah, these niggas brought that fuck shit. So, you know, I started listening to you, following you, man. And, yeah, you called it from the start, bro. You prophesied that all the way.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, people be saying, I'm not tripping on that. My whole thing is, because I had somebody in the chat. I see somebody just gave him a 30-second timeout. I mean, 30 minutes or whatever. But I'm not tripping on the fact that I started some shit or whatever. My whole thing is, real supposed to recognize real, and real niggas should fuck with each other. If you figure somebody phony, then that's a whole nother story. Like when Pharaoh first called my name, he said, Sinetta sent me over there. No, the reason I came fucking with they live chat that night is because y'all fuck with Basim, and I don't fuck with Basim, and I don't like Basim. And I figure y'all making Basim some money. This nigga talk shit about my mother, right? Now, Pharaoh should understand that because Unc talk shit about his mother, right? And he called himself being pissed and mad about that. So I bootlegged they motherfucking live stream. I put it out there to the people and shit, and he called my name. He didn't know who I was. He said Sinetta something. But now, after that day, he's supposed to do his research and see who the fuck I was. Now, once he did that, because he came over to the show, we talked. I apologized for doing the shit, and I told him why. Now, that's real nigga shit. Now, he agreed to a debate with me. Before he got online saying he ain't going to debate black folks no more and all of that shit. Now, it's just getting into shit people don't know about. Now, a lot of people know about it because I was like, yeah, me and Pharaoh, and I'm trying to do this. Even the brother Dennis Winkler, I called him and asked him, did he know some people up in Buffalo, New York, so I can get a venue up in Buffalo. We was looking for a venue so I can go to Buffalo to deal with Young Pharaoh. This shit people just don't know about, but I'll talk about it today. Now, we supposed to have a debate based up on his word and shit, but now he act like he don't know me. He don't act like he ain't say we was going to do a debate and get shit popping and everything. So I go to Chicago to see him, show love, pay him a little 30, right? Now, I lost my phone. That's the only reason I didn't get his phone number to holler at him. He was like, I'm going to give you my number. And I'm like, damn, you know, I'm going to hit you this and that. So that's the only reason we hadn't really held back or did this and that. But he's supposed to be fucking with me. I'm supposed to be fucking with him. We're supposed to be doing an event together. Once again, this is a way to get him out of the conversation and the bullshit with the rest of these niggas. If you doing shit, then you going to have your mind focused on that, and you ain't going to focus on this bullshit over here. Now, the Zachariah conversation, that's cool. But what else is talking about polite worth talking about? Everybody know he a scammer. Everybody know he fucking over the community. But like he said, he got certain people that just want to support him and what he doing. They going to do that. You can't change their minds. So I fuck with the young boy. I talk to him. I was trying to go to Buffalo, put some money in his pocket, and make a situation when the nigga was in legal trouble and shit. Yeah, it was to help me too. But in helping me, I'm helping you. In helping you, you helping me. That's what the fuck we supposed to do as a people in a community. That's the fucking problem. Don't nobody want to help the next man. All about me. Shit, I'm glad he helped Kev Gills. Now, if Kev Gills about that bullshit, then you helped the wrong person, right? But if he do right, and even if they take down polite, even if it's fucked up, I'm going to cheer for him. I ain't going to be over here hating. I'm going to be like, damn, they put the nail in that nigga coffin. You know what I'm saying? Y'all still on the line? Let me get over here. I don't hear nobody. 615 is. So I ain't the hater. I'm the congratulator. But at the same time, like I said, I'm going to get on you. If I see you out here and you doing fuckboy shit and weak shit, I'm going to get at you.
I mean, that's the name of the game, though. So, I mean, you just doing what you're supposed to do. I mean, my thing is, you know, these cats act all, get all sensitive about somebody getting at them instead of just dealing with the issue. They want to get sensitive and act emotional and act like a hoe.
Yep.
But bro, keep doing what you're doing, bro.
It's like you should accept the fight. You know that
exactly.
When you step in this arena, that it's a fight. So now when somebody call you out, you bitch up. And it's like, why you bitch up? I be begging for niggas to fight. They be like, will you want to fight that nigga? Because 9 out of 10, they going to whoop our ass. And it's going to give them some popularity for whooping our ass. So, nigga, you ain't going to make a name off me. That's what they
tell
me.
You know what they call them? You know what they call them?
Nah.
Back in my days, they used to call them telephone gangsters. Because, you know, they talk all that shit over the phone. But when you show up to their house, they ain't got shit to say.
Oh, yeah. 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 Now, see,
it is what it is.
I could have been bogus. I could have been Young Marcus on Sarasu and Seti, sitting right out there in front of the DeSabo Museum, me and Young Pharaoh in front of each other, and people got cameras. So I could have brought somebody with a camera. It's easy to do. I didn't want no drama. I could have started drama right there. You know what I'm saying?
Do that. Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
That wouldn't have been a smart move, though.
Right. That's weak shit. But I'm just saying, if I wanted drama to make a name for myself, it's easy. I had the opportunity. I was right there with him. Right? That's like in the Black, they had a situation with Professor Griff, right? I could go get you the show right now with me and Professor Griff about 5 or 6 years ago was doing an interview. He was on there talking stupid as fuck. I just shut the show down. I closed the show out on the nigga. I was like, fuck him. And I'm not trying to make a name off of going at Professor Griff. You know what I'm saying? Because
then it should
get in the public and motherfucker be like, young dude went at Professor Griff or whatever. So I be trying to avoid certain drama like that. But it seemed like I'm going to find it everywhere I go because wherever I go is drama. But at the same time, I'm not trying to make a name like that. That shit easy to do, though.
Well, the shit is, man, it's like, you know, you just said it, man. It's a real defining point between wrestling and faith. You know what I mean? And that line is coming closer and closer to a culmination of where it's going to have to be the real versus the fake all day. You know? And then that's where you got your, you know, you got your 10% and you got your 85%, if you want to use that breakdown. Because you got so many followers out there. You got so many followers out there who going to follow people like Polite, who going to follow people like Sarnetta, you know, whoever these people are. But, you know, it's just a lot of sheeple, man, and they taking advantage of the sheeple. And to take them out, you got to attack the vibe. Got to.
Right, but see, my thing is not always, my whole thing, Ben, is get the people on stage and show the people on stage why you on stage that these people about bullshit, meaning that you could get some finance from the shit, right? Doing the YouTube.
You want to mop them up live.
Right.
You
can do the YouTube shit, but you only going to make so many AdSense dollars off of this shit. They got the Super Chat shit now, so maybe somebody hear your conversation, popped you $10 or $20. You know, for your conversation and shit, saying, you know, keep up the good work or whatever. But the real money is getting the nigga on stage and having the debate that everybody, that's the economics, that's the event for people to come out, and you make sure that the debate is solution-based. So shut the fuck up if you ain't got no solutions for the people, because that's what you're supposed to be here doing. You say you smart and intelligent, you conscious of the problem, but you ain't. You can't make me conscious of the solution. So that's always been my
thing. It ain't no money.
Huh?
It ain't no money in solving the problem. It's money in creating a product that constantly needs to be upgraded or changed or fixed. There's no money in creating an indestructible product.
Right, but the debate is just—it's still that at the end of the day, trying to come up with the solution, ain't nobody gonna have the solution in the first debate.
That's what I'm saying. They're not gonna give you no solution. It's always gonna be somewhere where you got to come back for more information.
Well, you're gonna have to do that anyway. Cause once again, if you can't think of the solution, you steady got to come to me. That's just the drug company. You got to come to me to keep getting the drug because you can't solve the problem.
Exactly. So my thing is this, man. It's like if you try to expose them right then and there, yeah, you gotta hold all your ones until the debate time, because if you give it up too early, you're gonna lose out.
See, it's different things because people say they got different stuff. Like, say, for instance, if I say the Bible the best tool for our liberation, right? That's right. 10 people that can attack that topic and attack it from different angles. 10 different vantage points, right? So that's 10 right. Debate. Now, if the people want to pay for it, cool. If they don't want to pay for it, cool. But even then, that's like a 10-volume series. You know what I'm saying? Where you can put the shit on the internet for $10 or $5, and whenever the motherfucker want to go watch it, now you're going to make $10 to $5. And if they want to watch all 10, so now this is a steady stream of income for everybody that participate in the shit.
Right.
Because even if you don't give them the steady stream of income and it's just to whoever create the product to be put on the internet, then you get paid for being part of the production and taking the ass whooping, because I ain't taking no ass whooping. I'm winning everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now you got economics flowing in the community. The venue people make, you going to black venues, so they making the money. Then the people that's participating, the camera people, this, that, and that, they making money. That's why even the Hebrews like to talk shit. When you go to the black church got sound men, musicians, you know what I'm saying? People that's cleaning up. They got people that's working. They got people that got a job. They work for the church. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Steady stream of income.
They definitely have the resources because they actually have the historical presence and the backing of the government. So yeah, they're going to have the resources. They are considered as an agent of the government. So, but that's okay. But the problem is that in the conscious community, if that's what you want to call it, it's these same people operating off of that player and pimp mentality, but calling it consciousness. But they still operating from a general basis of I'm a player and I'm about to get mine. So there's never a paradigm shift in your approach to how you approach life and
your purpose in life, then you're always going to be about chasing dollars for the purpose of serving you.
Yeah. But like I said, the thing is, you got to create institutions and stuff. This already an institution that's been created. It's a corrupt institution that needs to be cleaned up. You got to clean it up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's already in existence.
The thing is looking at a building and that motherfucker went down and you got to go do some rehab on it. The conscious community, quote unquote, need rehabbing. But it needs the foot in its ass where everybody can see all the problems and the solutions.
So, all right, so let's take it from the building analogy, right? I'm going to walk with you on that analogy. So when I walk up to this building and I look at this building, can I say that it has a good bones and good foundation, or was it built on a rocky foundation?
It was built on a strong foundation, the conscious community.
Okay.
That became the online conscious community, built on the back of, the the Dr. Men's, John Henry Clark, you know, Adam Van Sertelman, and all these different people. I mean, they was bringing knowledge. Yeah, they kicked against the Bible, you know, but I won't hold that against them. What they was trying to do and what they was producing for was in Brooklyn and different places was strong. It was waking people up to certain things. They didn't have the capacity to do for the Bible, and they hated on the Bible. Once again, I won't hold that against them. That is a big problem, but I ain't going to insert that into the conversation. So that was building that, Amos Wilson and all of these people, even the Malcolm X's and all the different shit that was going on in Harlem, you know, 1/25th. You know what I'm saying? Even in them places, because they was in Harlem and Brooklyn and different places talking this stuff. So I said it was built on a strong foundation. It's just when it went to the internet and a character like Sarnetta got it, and he was standing on the Khalil Muhammad stuff and everything, he fucked it up.
All right, so here's my next question, because I understand exactly what you said. Give you, like, I have experience.
Let's see. I have experience with the conscious community. My first interaction with consciousness would have been, let's say I'm 36 now, would have been back in, like, when I was 15. You know, I got exposed to consciousness and self, awareness of self, right? So I've been around for a minute. You know, all these names, I've heard of them. I've studied them while I was in college, different things of that sort. They did great putting out information. They did have a few institutions, but are we just picking up the information portion of it? Where the fruits at? My basic question. Where the fruits at so I can examine them?
Well, that's what I say. You got to remember that, like, the Nation of Islam is a part of that consciousness. That's why I said Malcolm. And then you got to look at Khalil and the New Black Panther Party and stuff. So a couple of them institutions is still around, the ones that created institutions, right? The ones that didn't create institutions, you got problems. Like, I would even say the Black Hebrew Israelites, the Hebrew Israelites is part of that whole awakening and conscious up there from another perspective coming from the Bible and stuff, right?
Right.
Even like in June, I want to go to Chicago and do politics as usual, the Chicago way. And if you look at Chicago, I mean, you got growth and development, gangster disciples. They got into political stuff with 21 vote and everything. These people was moving into the political arena. This is some Coleone shit. You know what I'm saying? Because Vice Lords came in trying to be the Lord over Vice, and then they was conserving. These people was into politics and dealing with stuff, had breakfast programs and stuff, street organizations and stuff, with street knowledge, moving the masses of the people from the numbers of the organizations they was creating. So the GDs, you know, eventually you get to BMF and what Big Meech was doing and shit, that's GD. That's Gangster Disciples of Growth and Development, where they had a network and they was getting money like a motherfucker, even if they still was doing it through illegal drug trade and shit. These people was organized and they was becoming mafia kings or gang kings. They was becoming powerful entities in the world that can move shit and can sit at the table with big wigs and shit. So we know the Kennedys and everybody else got their money through illegal means and shit. So you just can't be mad at the black man for doing it. It's just those people call themselves helping their nation out and helping shit out. So now the thing is, where you helping other blacks out? You know what I'm saying? If they going to do that shit and they going to get this money by illegal means and stuff, where is it you giving kickback to the blacks and making sure they taken care of? And that now, you know, certain shit can only happen in your community with your beckon, with your green light.
Right. That's what takes me back to the point of, you got these conscious people who are still operating out of a different type of mentality. It ain't a mentality of family first. we going to make sure we straight, and then we going to go out there and get all this bread. It ain't that kind of mindset. It's about, I'm about mines, and, you know, I'm going to do whatever I got to do to get me. So that's where you have that breakdown. You have, it's a cultural. If you go back to everything, you got to take it back to the youth, right? Because as a youth, you taught your culture. No matter what, you going to be around somebody unless you, like the, what's the kid in the Jungle Book? You know, unless you like the kid in the Jungle Book who ain't got no people around to raise you and teach you a culture, you're going to be taught by somebody how to operate in this society. So if you don't have that culture instead of you like those mafiosos do, they grew up in that life. They were taught that, how to take care of their family, because that's all they know. That's what I'm saying. You got to shift the paradigm of the people, and that's the hardest thing to do. So, yeah, we could try to build institutes, but if you ain't got the institutes teaching the right culture, then you got a problem, because we have to reprogram our people to reprogram the next generation. That's the,
correct.
That's the problem.
But see, that comes with the whole damn throwing up the W and getting it in and having these beef sections and shit with niggas beefing and shit. That was the whole thing with gangster rap and everything, or rap music or hip hop in general from the East and the West Coast. You know what I'm saying? Who going to get this money? Who going to control the dance flow? Who going to do this and that? Who going to sit over nigga kingdom? Who going to run shit and have shit to say?
It didn't always start about getting money. It was more or less about actual emceeing, you know, master of ceremony. That's what you were supposed to do. It's about keeping the party going. But now, I can't really call when it flipped, because I know Big Daddy Kane was about the cheese too. He was talking about cheese.
The thing is the message and the culture, right? See, like, even if you deal with the Get Down, if you watch the Get Down with the Get Down brothers and all of that, it was about the culture, right? And the thing was, when you was emceeing on your local block, you was hollering out people from your block or your community.
For sure.
And so with the Five Boroughs, people rep their city, rep their borough.
Yeah.
So when you did that, you talked about the DJs and the mom and pop stores and the people, and it still was political. Took it and made it commercial with the hip hop to the hippity hop to the don't stop the bang bang boogie. You know, when they commercialized the shit, they didn't get the street message no more. The only light of a street message was the message. You know what I'm saying?
Well, no, I mean, even in Rapper's Delight, there's our messages have always been coded. We've always had coded messages, even since slavery time. You know, I'm Haitian, so that's how Creole was created.
Yeah,
it's a derivative between French and you know, the indigenous Guinea language, right? So it's always been coded. Even in that song, there's some coded messages in there. There's some game to pick up if you're willing to pick up. Yeah, you're supposed to be picking up
now,
game from these.
What did that art form go that? Even though we got coded messages in our music, at some point the music stopped pushing the right angles and statements. Like, I would say Tupac's message never stopped being liberational. When he said, "If my homie call, I drop it all if my homie call." He's talking about if somebody in your fucking crew or family call and say they need help, you drop every motherfucking thing. You go, they
and
start
you,
calling
you
in certain radio stations and stuff. They say ride or die. So they say, who is ride or die for you? At the end of the day, if you call them right now, they'll drop it all and they'll be there for you. Right?
Yeah.
That's what they start calling it. So in that song, he pushed that type of message that you got to be there for your people and doing shit. When he talked about Brenna had a baby and shit, that's like 13 and good, but 13 and good was some bullshit. It's pedophilia.
Right.
Pedophilia, not talking about it like the shit is bad. You actually on some, I was fucking the shit out of a 13-year-old, and her pops came in and was like, you can keep fucking her, just bend over and let me fuck you. Like, what? That's the message?
I'm like, that's left, bro. That's left. But, yeah, man, I feel you. The message is still there, you know what I mean? But now the I think here's a big issue with that. What happened is when my generation was deciphering this, right, we came up during the big boom of hip-hop. Now, also we came up during the crack age, and we came up during the crime.
You talking about 88?
I'm 96. Talking about the 80s and the 90s when I grew up.
Okay. Well, you know, they got like
born in 80.
Dominant eras in hip-hop, like 88 and 96.
96, always, all day. Right. But I'm talking about the, you know, 88 going forward. Yeah, man, that's my era, right? So when... And my era also hit during the crack. That was good into the crack season too. So you have to look at the environment, and you also have to look at the culture of the people to determine what the issue was from a generation, you know, from Generation X going to the millennials. Because we're talking about the millennial generation, but we are responsible. Generation X and the generation before that is responsible for the millennials.
Yeah, but that's like Wise Intelligent got an album out now, right? Do you know the name of it?
Say it again, I'm sorry?
Wise Intelligent from Poor Righteous Teachers. You know the
No,
brother?
I haven't heard that one, bro.
You don't know Wise Intelligent?
I haven't heard
it. You don't know Wise Intelligent?
I said, I don't know.
The Poor Righteous Teachers, you know them?
Yeah, I've heard of the group, but I don't know their individual names.
The lead rapper. A posse fat
okay.
up, you know, the one that was doing it, rock that funky
yeah.
joint. The one that was rapping
yeah.
on there, his name Wise Intelligence. He got an album out now called The Blue Klux Klan.
Blue
right?
Klux Klan, okay.
The Blue Klux Klan. And he's talking,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know what I'm saying? He's talking that social political shit. That's what the music used to be. Social political music. Talking about what's going on, the CNN of our hood, where the MCs was talking about the things that matter to us in our hoods, in our community, right?
Right.
So, let me, here go a song right here, I'm going to play it. Fuck the ads. We're going to play some Wise Intelligent. We on hip-hop a little bit now, so.
All right.
So he like, show me, bet you can't show me. And the title was One Good Cop. So this is a conversation that we be having in the social media platforms and shit about there's good cops out there. And it's like, well, if he a good cop, why the fuck he letting the bad cops do what he doing shit? But he done put this in a lyric, right? So
yeah.
Now rapping it. So if the youth listening to this is dealing with a social construct, and it ain't just busting pussy open and tell them bring it back like they do in the South. They got songs talking about that. I ain't got no girlfriend, but your wife is my, you know, I ain't got no wife, but your wife is my girlfriend shit.
Here's the problem. With that, now, I'm just looking at it from a general standpoint because I'm looking at how this millennia or how this generation listens to music. Do you understand how much information is available to them as opposed to it was to like me and you?
Yeah, I mean, they can Google some shit. We couldn't Google shit.
No, I mean, not even Google. Just the fact that they got an MP3 player means they have the freedom of not having to listen to the first thing that's coming out. They don't have to listen for what's dropping out new. You never have to listen to the radio again. So here's my question. Here's my wrap up then. So how would they ever hear this song?
I tell them about it and other people tell them about it. Word of mouth has always been the best selling tool.
Form of advertising, right?
Yeah.
That's always been the form of advertising for us, right? I got you. But if you got more dominant word of mouth, going out for Young Thug because he wearing dresses. So if he wear a dress, he get more pump play. And if the brothers from the Poor Righteous Poets don't do all the foolishness and shenanigans to get promotion, how is his words going to reach the masses?
Right. I mean, I implore that same tactic. Like people say, I snore when I sleep, right? But I ain't beyond going to sleep and y'all hearing me snoring on my channel so motherfuckers can come over and just listen and say, listen to this nigga snoring. Why you doing this shit? Or picking my nose or whatever. So people, they talk about the shenanigans, but they still get a message at the end of the day. So that's just keeping it real. I feel like going to sleep, and when I go to sleep, I snore. So if you hear me snoring on the goddamn broadcast because I fell asleep on it, I ain't no shame in my game. You know what I'm saying?
But you still broadcasting. It's the fact that you still broadcasting, bro.
People get to talk about laughing and bullshit, and they going to say, y'all know that nigga Israel Doctrine? No, man, look, check this out. This nigga over there snoring like a motherfucker on this broadcast. Well, you going to give me a hit. So
exactly.
I just keep it real, and if somebody hear me say or do some shit and it's funny or whatever to them, I'm still going to get it. So you got to have the shenanigans. You got to put the bullshit and entertainment in the real shit to sell it to them, too. It's just like when they used to give you sugar or a sweet drink behind some Alka-Seltzer. You ain't like had taste. Oh, that's bitter, huh? Drink this then. So you got to give them a little sugar with it. You know,
a little antidote. Yeah, I got you. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, it works, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the problem is that it's so saturated now, man, that word is hard to penetrate unless you have that one-on-one interaction with people. And I'm just saying that from experience. Unless you open the people's minds up one-on-one basis and kind of, like, spoon-feeding them and leaving it there. And because really, man, we just dropping down that line, dropping that bait, see who's going to bite. That's what it's about.
Yeah. So, you know, from the Israelite perspective, it says spy out the land. You know, God told them go on that
right.
And it was like spy out the land, see if it's really giants and what. And so people go see the giants come back. These niggas scared as fuck. And he told you go in there and take the land. Fuck them giants. Go in there.
Yeah, he told you already had it before he told you to check it out.
Yeah, but niggas scared. Ooh, it's giants. No, nigga, go in there and slay their ass. You got the Lord on your side. What you afraid of?
And that was,
you don't need the promised land if you can't go take it. He didn't show you time after time that I'm with you, you're going to take it. You can kill anything or do whatever. And you bitch up.
Right.
That's why I don't never bitch up at the end of the day. Now, I ain't going to be fool.
And that was 10-2. Now, if you think about it, let's just dig into that one. That was 10-2, right? You got two witnesses that came back with a favorable report and 10 that came with an unfavorable report, right? And these are the ones who actually saw the miracles, or they were direct descendants of the ones who actually saw the miracle in real live in HD. And they still didn't believe. Come on. That's generational, brother. He already told us we was a stiff-necked people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we know what the issue that we're dealing with. We know the issue we're dealing with. Our people always been stiff-necked. So that's the number one issue we have to deal with is a stiff-necked people. How do you resolve that issue? What's the solution to that one? That's what I want to hear a debate about. How you fix these stiff-necked people?
Well, number one, you can't spare the rod. We talked about that last night.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Most definitely.
Spread a rod, man. You got to lay the smack down on black people, man, or they ain't trying to hear it, man.
And they ain't going to hear you. They don't respect that shit if you don't.
You got to literally lay the smack down on their ass so they don't know a damn thing you talking about. What did he say?
Yeah.
But let's check out
the one. They don't respect anything but hard words. Hard word gets their attention.
Let's check out this joint. I want to, you know, me and Wise Intelligent, we don't talk much, but we've been Facebook friends, shit, ever since I've been on Facebook. I ain't know who the hell he was.
Yeah.
But he deal with the Israelite stuff, too, and everything. He deal with a lot of black stuff, but we basically was talking about Israelite stuff. and I didn't know who the hell he was. His name on
Facebook
is Timothy Taylor, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I hit him.
Taylor is. So let's play this dude. Now, that's such a commentary. One sec. I'm going to find another one. I want to play another one.
Nah, bro, I'm going to tell you this. I really can't hear it that good coming over the phone, but I heard some of the words he was saying.
Yeah, but I mean, you can check it out later. All you got to do is type in the Blue Bloods Clan, and you can, you know.
I'm going to check them out myself.
Yeah, it's a whole playlist, you know. Here you go. This the FBI. This on the album, too.
In October 2006, the FBI put out a very strong warning with significant proof of white supremacist infiltration of law enforcement throughout the United States. This was represented as a serious national threat. It appears the deaths of non-whites at the hands of police is on the rise, and very few analysis of the situation is directly linked back to the FBI's direct warning. Why has this been forgotten? Why is it not being covered? Why is it being ignored? In near prophetic fashion, after the FBI's warning, white nationalist extremism in the U.S. increased exponentially. From 2008 to 2014, the number of white supremacist groups reportedly grew from 149 to nearly 1,000, with no apparent abatement in their infiltration of law enforcement. This year alone, at least 7 San Francisco law enforcement officers were suspended after an investigation revealed they exchanged numerous white power communications laden with remarks about lynching African Americans and burning crosses. 3 reputed Klan members that served as correction officers were arrested for conspiring to murder a black inmate. At least 4 Fort Lauderdale police officers were fired after an investigation found that the officers fantasized about killing black suspects. The report goes on to say that white nationalist domestic terror groups are not publicly tracked despite their link to violent crime and the serious threat they pose. This reality must not be forgotten, and we should raise it as much as we can.
Who gives a fuck about the police? Who gives a fuck about the police? The police, the police. Who gives a fuck about the police? Who gives a fuck about the police? Who gives a fuck about the police? Gives a fuck about the police? Who gives a fuck about the police? Happens like you find my ghetto, like a slave plantation, mass incarceration. These crackers play dances and they hop behind these badges, stopping persistent harassment. Said he's fucking with a nigga like me. Mama Kwame Ture taught me, if a cracker wanna lynch me, that's his problem. But if this cracker got the power to lynch me, well, then see, the motherfucking problem's mine. So I walk out on a front line every time another motherfucking one time. Kill another motherfucker and get no time. I decline the same to the chief. Hit with rebel bullets, I might fuck your peaceful protest up. The only way they gonna respect us when we organize militias and let us lay your positions and let them know we don't need them and we'll do our own police and touch. One of us, you will get touched. Who gives a fuck about the police? Who gives a fuck about the police? The police, the police. Who gives a fuck about the police? Who gives a fuck about the police? Who gives a fuck about the police? Gives a fuck about the police? Who gives a fuck about the police?
They call it an eye for an eye, but I call it a light for a light. A doctor, a doctor, son for a son. One wife for a wife, you know I'm full of peace and love. Let's get it straight, I never propagate hate. But it's our obligation as the children of the slave not to ever let this shit happen again. I ain't counting on the laws to protect my life.
You hear what he's saying?
Human fucking beings to preserve my life. Nigga, self-preservation is the first law of nature. And the second, keep a weapon for whoever try to...
Keep a weapon for whoever try to take it. Police, nigga, it don't matter. But self-preservation, it's the first law. Shit, life for a life.
Self-preservation, mental elevation. That's what Malcolm X said.
Yeah. So, you know, once again, that's the type of shit I listen to. You know, I fuck with the man himself on Facebook. So when he do shit and market and promote it, I'm on it. You know what I'm saying? I interviewed him one time, you know. So like I said, I talk to him, I fuck with him, but I try not to mess with people that, you know, on a certain level and it seem like I'm begging them and asking them for certain shit, you know. I figure they know who I am. When they want to share some shit with me, they'll share some shit, and if sometime they got some shit going on, and I'll reach out.
You gotta be patient. Gotta be patient. You don't never know what other people are going through. I mean, even people who moving and shaking, man, they still got love for you, but they ain't got time for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I understand.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I get like that with my friends. I tell them, hey, look at him. It ain't like I don't want to talk, but you better call me because, shit, I be in the crazy-ass mind state sometimes. You hit me up, you got me. I always answer the phone. I can't answer it now because I lost the motherfucker, but...
Well, that's what I tell people. I tell people, man, look, call me anytime. If I pick up the phone, I'm available. If I don't, I'm not.
Oh, yeah. But, nah, man, we got to get back to that type of stuff, man. We got to market and promote people like that and stuff, man. That's why I said, fuck it, I'm going to go and put him up here. You know what I'm saying? Go check that album out, you know, the Blue Klux Klan.
I feel you. You giving me a practical example of how we can make this work because – this is how we can get through all of the saturation of the shenanigans and foolery. You know what I mean? That's the only way we can do it if we do it for ourselves, do for self.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, but brothers got to be willing to do that. They got to be willing to put in the work for us. It ain't going to just be like, "Oh man, I want to help you, so I'm gonna holler at you so I can help you." Nah. I'm here to help you, but if you want help, holler at me. And let's work together. I ain't finna just work and you just reap the benefits. See, that's the problem, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, that's it. Because, like I said, a lot of people steal people's ideas and steal stuff. This, you know, this whole, what they call it, intellectual property shit is crazy right now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Niggas will take your intellectual property and run with it like it's them. And you be like, look at my goddamn clone out there getting paid.
Jackers.
You looking at your clone out there doing you. You like, this nigga, that's, you got to feel, that's for like Chuck Berry and all them guys. You like, look at Elvis' ass. Now, he was just over here last week, and he seen me bust that move, and this nigga on stage busting my move, getting paid. White boy done robbed us.
You know, that's the American way, isn't it?
Yeah. That's why sometimes
you back,
gotta put shit out
right
there. But sometimes you just gotta put it out there and just help the culture, because the vultures is out there and they gonna take it. They gonna run with it. So you still gotta give it to them. You gotta give it to the people. Somebody gonna eat off of it, this, that, and the other. As long as it's other blacks to a degree, you can't cry. That's socialism at its best. You know what I'm saying?
Have you ever heard the expression used when you see a duck, hit him over the head?
Oh yeah.
So I mean, that's how I was raised up. So there are predators out here, man. I got a good analogy here, man. There's a wolf, there's a sheep, and then there's a sheepdog. We got to decide which one we want to be, because the wolf is all about himself. The sheepdog is about making sure that the sheep are safe, right?
The sheep just sitting his ass up there looking crazy.
Right, exactly. And that's the fight that we're up against, man. I'm not a 5%er, but they have a great breakdown in the analogy. So I'll just use their math right now, if you'll allow. So, you know, that's where you got the 5%. Is your 5% now, is that your sheepdog or is that your wolf? And then your 10% that know better, are they the wolf or are they the sheepdog? That's what we're dealing with.
Oh, yeah.
You got to identify who's who. And that's what you're saying.
That's why I've always tried to make sure people can identify me as the motherfucker fighting for the people.
All right, so you're the sheepdog.
Yeah. I'm the nigga that's fighting for the people. Like, at the end of the day, everything I do is for the people. It's about the people, for the people. You know, I get the least benefits from doing what I do. You know, that's why I say at the same time, when I say, yeah, I started a lot of this shit and niggas hopped on it after I opened up the floodgate. But it's like, it's cool. Sometimes I just be wanting to love and respect back in the honor of being that nigga, you know. And a lot of people do it now where they didn't do it at all. And it's like, I don't want the benefits. I don't need the benefits from it. But, nigga, you supposed to show the old school love. Ain't nothing like the old school. You got to show old school love.
That's love. That's the culture, right? That's the culture. That's our culture. Yeah. You're supposed to show your old school, especially somebody open up a door, open up a whole new lane, and now everybody kicking down the door trying to get in the lane. Well, there you go. You got your sheep coming behind you. So you leading them. You still the sheepdog, even if the sheep don't recognize you. Even if they don't recognize you, because guess what? They sitting there aimlessly anyway.
Yeah. I get ostracized trying to help the people, and the goddamn people act like they don't want to show no love sometimes. But it's cool, because the ones that do show it, it's much love. You know? Much love. The ones that don't, it be like, okay, it's cool.
Well, what did Christ say about a prophet? A prophet is never honored in his own home, right?
That's right.
So you know, it's like, you gotta, this is your community. You ain't gonna get no love. But the ones outside of that who's watching all the storylines happen at once, and just kicking back, they're like, oh, yeah, he's kicking the truth right there. You know what I'm saying? Because they can see time will always show the fuller. And that's what time is showing us now, exactly who these cats are. And
I got to do my documentary. I got to do my biopic. I got to tell my story.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. You're going to see the baby pictures, this, that, and that. You know, y'all going to see my mother and father for you bitch-ass niggas that like to fuck with people, family pictures. Y'all going to get a chance to see their pictures and make your bitch-ass shows and videos on and this shit. I'm going to give you some more family pictures. You probably get to see brothers and sisters one day, all that shit.
And you know, if you don't mind, bro, I'm gonna say, like, that's another number one pet peeve: the violations, bro. Violations, unchecked, unchallenged. I'm not with it, man. I'm just not with it.
Yeah,
I'm just not with it, man. That's not cool, man. And
yeah, I remember when I first met my brother DS1, DS1 Alliance. I called myself checking them and stuff. A little bit about that, like, and it was over Pharaoh, because it was like, you know, if you don't know it all, you might have to tread a little lightly. He respected, though. I know you're in the chat. That's why I'm going to tell the story and shout him out. But ever since then, he like, okay, OG, call me OG. He said, okay, OG, and he do, because I was just trying to put him on the reel of the reel, letting him know exactly what was going on with the situation. Pharaoh, Dr. My Yacht, this and that. That was the conversation. So, you know, like I said, I still do my thing, man. I'm, you know, fuck all this, give me honor and this and that. You know, I'm still active. So when niggas don't think to give me what's mine, I'm going to take what's mine because I'll bust them out. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's all good, man. We gonna make it as, you know, Jada Kiss. You know,
yeah,
we don't make it. You know,
most of you know, but we gotta start from A. You know, we gotta start from point A. You know, we can't try to pick up. Man, look at other communities. Hold on one second, bro.
See, what people fail to realize is when Pac died, they put all them bootleg tapes out there and they sounded bad and shit, but it was some good ass music on that shit, right? They done remastered all that shit and got it back to prestige sound. And I done downloaded them. And y'all, boy, listen, when I turn this shit on and get back into a certain mindset, back to my original mindset, right, still not void of the Bible and the principles in that. But when I get back to that mentality, 96, 97, where it was Pac and Bible, then y'all gonna see some shit you never seen before. You know, all I need is my motivation. I don't need drugs. They don't motivate me. A lot of shit don't motivate me. Shit that I love motivate me. So when I start playing this Pac again, I ain't got my weed like I used to have. I used to have that weed, Pac, and the Bible. That was the shit. That was my three vices. Weed, Pac, and the Bible. Motherfucker knew I was going to be smoking. I was going to be reading the Bible. I had some Tupac on. That's all motherfuckers knew me for. That's all that nigga do. Listen to that goddamn Tupac. Act like he know that damn Bible. And smoke that goddamn weed. That was me. I ain't got the weed. But I'm going to put this Pac mind state, this military mind state, suppress the revolution, press the revolution. That's what niggas did. Even black motherfuckers didn't suppress the revolution. Right? Men of arms with the Coco Brothers and shit. So since I played Wise Intelligent, I might as well go and put some of this Pac shit on. I ain't gonna get no AdSense for this shit.
I'm back with you, bro.
What up?
Yeah,
so listen, I'm gonna do. I'm finna find some of this Tupac, some of this shit that I'm telling y'all about, so y'all can feel me when I say I listen to this Pac shit. Man, where you at? You friends with me on Facebook or something? So I can send you.
Hey, man, I just hit you up on Facebook.
You just hit me up on Facebook?
Yeah, like the other day, like yesterday.
Nah, I was in the chat room earlier, but then I just called the phone number, so now I'm just on the phone.
No, I'm saying you hit me up on Facebook. Don't you ain't got to tell me who you is, but did you say peace to me or something?
No, I just hit you a friend request, man. Mikael X. Ain't shit.
Oh, okay. Just hit me in the chat right quick and say peace. I'll send you the link because I'm finna play some more music. You say you can't hear me.
All right, bro. I'm driving right now, so kind of difficult. But go ahead, man, and I'll make it work on this end.
All right, hit me in the inbox. Make sure I get your number again. We're going to holler. We're going to work some things out, man.
For sure.
We're going to build. All
right, bro.
Now you got me on my POC shit. Now I'm up at the end of my POC shit. Y'all know how I do when I get on my POC shit. But nah, man, it's this shit good, man. I'm just saying, we got another generation of fuck shit going on, man, and it's crazy as fuck, man. I don't understand how the elders and different people sitting back around and shit. Nigga, somebody called Farrakhan. I'm like the cannabis now. Somebody get Farrakhan on the horn. But nah, I'm sitting up here and chilling, man. Social commentary song, right? That's what we're talking about, what people talk about our shit and what's going on in our community, right? This is one of the best. Let's take a ride to my block. You know, this was on the show soundtrack. So like I used to tell y'all, when I was in Chicago, I was around all the shit that was going on. So we went to the mall to watch the show. All the Chicago rappers and artists was in there. Do or Die, Crucial Conflict. Everybody from the West Side most definitely was in the mall the day I went to go see the show. And if you ain't never seen the show, say you're a new school or one of these new cats, y'all need to watch the show. You can never fade. Gee, that's so crazy.
Reminiscing on my past years, cause shit was happening for me last year. 50 years that I've been marked for death. My heart is pressed up on the line, cause of my arrest. My life is stressed, and no rest for every
my eyes
are tearful for all the brothers that I'm buried in the cemetery. Shit's scary, I'm black on black crime, legendary. But at times, unnecessary.
Racism, custom dark, couldn't quit the bullshit, made me represent.